Well, good morning. About 2 weeks ago, my friend Harvey texted me and said, "Hey, you want to go visit a church with me this Sunday?" And that's about all the information he gave me. Didn't say where it was or what it was about. And that was 2 weeks ago, and we weren't able to come last week due to some other complications. So then he says again this week, "Do you want to go visit this church down in Georgia?" Just down in Georgia. It says like 5 hours away. Again, I know nothing of the church or what he's doing there. I'm like, "Are you going with your dad?" And then our friend Cole gets invited along at the last minute, and the day we leave, and I still have no idea where we're going and why we're going there. And so I call up Harvey's dad and in search of some answers as to what his son is up to. I didn't, because you did not know, or would not tell us. So his dad, Mr. Dean Kirshner, shares that it's Grace Bible Church down in Valdosta, Georgia, and that the unfortunate incident of your pastor having a stroke has left some need of, people need to come and speak and share, and so Mr. Dean was invited, and subsequently his son, to speak, and in giving of the information, he mentioned that your church was very, very mission-focused, had a huge heart for outreach and evangelism and serving people, and even in the short span of the service so far, having a whole mission-focused time, and then also bringing up your missionary friend Cameron, I believe, who has a heart for the Jewish people. I was seeing that it was just like Mr. Dean said, your church does have a heart for missions and for reaching the lost. And so in my conversation with Mr. Dean, he thought that it would be prudent for me to perhaps share a little bit about some mission work that is up and coming for me, Lord willing, and also for Harvey, and prayerfully for Cole, the three of us. In May, we are, Lord willing, journeying to Malawi, Africa, along with Mr. Dean and a team that he's putting together for about 2 weeks of outreach and evangelism in Malawi at Harvest Hope Home, which is the orphanage and school that Mr. Dean started early 2000s? Yeah, back when we were itty-bitty, he started this. And my older brother and Harvey and his brothers have gotten the chance to go and serve in Malawi, and now he's organizing this team, and I was one of the people that was invited to go along, and so he thought that it would be prudent to share that with you all, just that side of mission work that we are prayerfully attempting to do. A little bit about what we would be doing there in May. It's from May 8th to, I think, the 22nd. We would be doing some service projects with the orphanage and the school, building them some outdoor facilities for activities for the kids. There's also a chance that we would be going into the schools within, I guess, the state of Malawi. I don't know if it's a specific city, and ministering to the kids there. But then the thing that really caught my interest when Mr. Dean shared this was a training program that we would be doing there for the kids, the older kids, the high school kids of the orphanage, for film. And I guess a little bit about me, to give you context why that caught my eye, is that from a very young age, I have had a love and a passion and a creative mind for the visual medium. I grew up with my family making, backyard reptile documentaries and educating people on the reality of snakes and how they are part of God's creation, and sending those out to our friends. And that continued on into where I was making backyard films with my friends, and it reached a point in high school where I realized that making films and telling stories wasn't just something that I enjoyed doing as a hobby as a kid, but I felt a passion for it and a calling to share God's word in that way, whether that's through stories in film or, working with a church in their visual department. And so I went to school for film with the calling of that on my life, to be able to share the gospel in that way, with the world becoming such a visually stimulating place with so much of our society and our culture being affected by what people see on their screens, I want it to be a positive part of that. If something that I do somehow makes it onto someone's screen, that could be one positive impact of a culture and a society that is otherwise becoming very dark in what they're putting out and what they're taking in. And so when Mr. Dean said that we would be doing something with working with the kids and teaching them how to film and how to put together videos and edit them and send them out into the world, both as a way of letting out their creative side and exercising that and telling those stories that they're learning in the gospel that they're being taught, but also being able to make videos to give updates to churches to show what's going on at Harvest Hope Home and to kind of just be able to show the world, we are here in Malawi, Africa, this is what we're doing, this is what God's showing us, even as young kids. And so my passion for film and my experience having gone to school for it is what really made me feel called to go on this trip, to be able to impart some of that knowledge that I have and also that passion for sharing the gospel and sharing stories in that way with the kids. And so that's something that I have been praying about, and all three of us have been really been praying about going on this trip and serving God in this way, and we're currently trying to raise support and ask people for prayer. And so Mr. Dean, when he was mentioning to me Els Church, he thought it would be good to get up here and share with you guys that's something going on the Georgia side of the mission field, the North Georgia side, I should say, that there's a group, probably 6+ of us, just college student age kids, from Barrie and from other places, and my brothers and Harvey's brothers, who are all collectively trying to band together and see if we can get across the ocean. And so I just wanted to share that, all that with you, and ask for your prayers as we move forward with that, and just pray and see if that's a door that God will open to allow us to go. It's not an easy trip to make. It's not a cost-free trip to make. And so prayers for support and just prayers for the journey, if any of us get to go, if none of us get to go, or if others get to go, just that trip that is happening in May, whether we're in a trip or not, would be impactful and minister to the kids at the orphanage. So now I'm going to have Carvey come and share with you guys.
Well, I'm Harvey, and I guess the first thing I want to just say is that I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to come and share, because I know many of you guys are way older than me and have a lot more experience. You've seen God's word more. You've seen God work more, but yet you're listening to me this morning. So I just want to say, like, if there's anything I say, they're just like, maybe Harvey, let's look at this like passage of scripture and like interpretations and stuff like that. This is something from my personal experience. And obviously, if you have an opinion you want to share with me, or just any kind of like constructive criticism you want to give me, I'm 20. So I'm not like proclaiming to be an expert preacher or anything like that. So anything, any kind of advice you guys give me, any feedback would be definitely appreciated. Also just, this is a cool opportunity. Like, we came down, we road tripped. It's about a 5-hour drive from Rome, Georgia. So we listened to like 2 sermons on the way. Got here. I didn't know where we were staying. I was like, I don't know if we were staying in like a bedroom of someone's house or if there's like a separate building. But we pull up and there's 5 beds in this place. It's like, oh snap, I guess we don't need those sleeping bags and blankets. So really appreciate you guys. And then, oh yeah, the food this morning was so good. Whole fruit basket, we didn't even finish it. So if you guys like grapes, there's still plenty in the fridge. So today's sermon, what I'm going to talk about is my biggest strength and my biggest struggle, and how my biggest strength became my biggest struggle. But first, I'd like to share some verses. So 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And for each one of you guys today, you're in a different walk of life, and we're all in a different area of life. But I want to say today, God longs to show himself strong through you. God wants to show himself strong through you. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Friends, God has a holy calling for you. God knit you together in your mother's womb for a purpose. And I think it's so easy, like, in the world to see, like, oh, I just got to take care of myself, and it's like a dog-eat-dog world. And man, like, God just kind of threw me in here, and here I am, like, ever since, like, I was a baby, I've had trouble, and I've had to take care of myself. No, God has a purpose for you. He didn't just throw you out in the world and expect you to find the way by himself. He designed you with a purpose, for a holy calling. And 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Guys, God did not just design us to sit back and, I know we go through struggles, we go through tribulations, but God designed us to pull down spiritual strongholds, to defeat the enemy. He said that through me, you have power over the demons. You have power over these strongholds. And so that's what I just want to encourage you today. You were designed for greatness. You were designed to live out a great purpose for God. And through in my life, I've been finding out, okay, what are people's spiritual gifts? And this is something many of you could probably teach me afterwards. Spiritual weapons, spiritual gifts, the body of Christ, like understanding how we're all individually designed. We have different strengths in this area. We have different strengths in this area. When we all come together, guys, we are a strong body, and we can be used incredibly for God. I've just been listening to a lot of sermons recently. I've just started painting, and just pull up a sermon. And I just hear these guys go through, I don't know if any of you guys have heard of David Gibbs. Anyone heard of David Gibbs? Tom Farrell. Just men in my life, I just listen to their sermons, and I'm like, man, God is doing amazing things in their life. In some ways, I get jealous, and in other ways, I'm like, well, that's kind of for them. Like, they grow up in a special place, like, God's done these, like, miracles and these amazing things just through, like, small little works that they've done, and God, like, shows up in this awesome way. I'm like, that's cool, but, like, that's for them. That's not really for me. Guys, God can show up in our lives. Like, we just need to have faith. And so much what I've been learning recently is just like these spiritual gifts. Joy, love, prayer, encouraging one another, evangelism. And my particular outreach is evangelism. That's where I really feel like God is calling me. My eventual goal is to be on the mission field long term. And I'm not sure exactly where yet. I'm still looking for, like, what exactly has God called me to do. But just being at college recently, I'm like, okay, if I live out this area in joy, people will notice this. And I don't know if you've heard of, there's a YouTube channel. What's actually, he said there's Friends of Israel, and there's actually One for Israel. That's another name of a ministry on YouTube. And it's 114 Jewish testimonies of how they found Jesus. And I'm like, man. So I listened to like two of these every time I woke up. And after a while, guys, I was just thinking, like, every unsaved person I know, like, this is how they could come to Jesus. Like, they could, like, I see this similarity in their life for this Jewish person. So 114 testimonies. So I encourage you guys to look that up. One for Israel. It's a YouTube channel, and they have, it's in English, so they have, like, the Jewish testimonies, how they found Jesus. But just, like, listening to those testimonies, I'm like, man, God is doing amazing things. And people came to Jesus, like, I think so much we put it in a box, like, how Jesus works. Like, this is how he's gonna save somebody. But guys, just through joy, people I've saved, have, like, been led to Jesus. Like, there was a Christian that worked at, like, a coffee shop, and they just had incredible joy. And people came up and asked us, like, why do you have this joy? And it's like, it's just Jesus. And just having joy has led people to Jesus. Just having love, like, there was an action, there was an army officer who, he would always pray for his commander at night. And he shared a bunk with his commander. And his commander eventually said, if you don't stop praying for me, I'm going to whack you with my boot. or I'm gonna kick you, and you're not gonna forget that. So sure enough, he came in that night and he was praying, and so he beat him up. Like, he absolutely just kicked him all over the place with his shoes, really just made him bleed in a lot of places. But then what happened is the next day he came in, or he woke up that morning, and his boots were clean. And he's like, who did this? He wasn't a very nice guy, so no one, like, who showed love to me? Why, who did this? And he, when he found out it was his officer that was praying for him, he couldn't take it, and they knelt by those boots, and he asked Jesus to be his savior. So guys, love can just be a weapon used. If that is your weapon, use it. Prayer? Guys, I found out how important prayer is. It's incredible. Just realizing in my life how I'm always trying to say things to people and do the right things and like appear right, but just praying for people makes a huge difference. And what I want to encourage you guys all today, as I've grown spiritually, as I've become closer to the Holy Spirit and realizing what His will is for my life, I've grown in all these areas. Joy, love, prayer, encouraging, and evangelism. I've grown in all these areas. But I found there's specific areas that definitely I feel more called to. I guess a specific gift. So we should definitely have all of these in our lives. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But there's like a specific gift that I feel like God has called me to use for His purpose in the ministry. And I was just going to ask, like, open it up for just a little bit of sharing. If anyone is willing to share just a spiritual gift that they have or a spiritual gift they have noticed in one of their friends here at church, or just something they've seen that, man, God has really used this in my life, or this is what I really feel called and inclined to do. And it can be something I listed, something completely else, like that's encouraging too. But while you're thinking of your own spiritual gift, and if you're willing to share that, Cole was going to share his real quick. So do you want to do that?
So I think God's really blessed me in spiritual gift of like encouragement. So I know, like, especially what, because I'm in a medical field right now, the medical school, so it's really tough for a lot of people. So, you know, I found I can be a blessing to other people who are in my program with me, you know, just by encouraging and helping people with that, because a lot of it, there's a lot of struggles and stuff, and I found that in everyday life as well. You know, I can just help encourage people and just, you know, just encourage the random cashier at Dollar General, you know, and just, it really just makes people say, even if you're not necessarily witnessing to them, you're setting an example for Christ just by being a positive person.
So would anyone like to share a gift they feel like they have spiritually, or a gift they've noticed in someone else that has really just encouraged them? Anyone like to share?
Most of you all probably understand and have heard this. Let me speak in this regard. We know that Pastor Rick is called to both a minister, preaching and teaching. He's done it 30 years or more, and we've been the beneficiaries of it, and it's wonderful. I serve as an elder alongside him. My position is not up there. If I have any calling from God, it's in the area of administration, which is one of the spiritual gifts. Organizing, finding any guys like this one here for this time. Handling all the management items of keeping us functioning and carrying on our week and still being here as part of the church. In that area, I can help. So, a calling, that doesn't matter about mailbox. That's another aspect of what God is doing, awesome. Has done in my life.
Amen, amen. Such a necessary gift. You can't have church without someone organizing it, or else you all show up at different times of the day. Anyone else want to share?
I believe a spiritual gift that I've discovered in myself is giving. It's not only in finances, but in time and effort. Seeing a need and figuring out how to meet it. I don't always live in that gift, but that I believe that God is still working in me in that way. And I do find a lot of joy in that when I'm living in this direction.
Either of us, and it's very interesting, and I think underrated in terms of me and my own life. That's a fascinating and beautiful thing to use joy that way, and that's rather striking. It's just kind of hidden, and I don't really know what my gifts are. But I do know I'm going to try and use joy a little more. A lot.
Yeah. I've always heard that if you don't know your gift, just start trying. And eventually you'll run across that one where you feel, oh, yes, I feel, let's see what God is.
57 years old.
Yeah.
Gotta keep trying.
As far as trying, then, patience has been a struggle for me. So, just with a children that grow, it's very hard. So I've been praying for patience lately. So, that kind of just brought up that I just keep trying to have patience. So, here we are.
Awesome. Are you? Here you go. Oh, you were, oh, sorry, I thought you were Steph before. No, okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's encouraging, guys. And I'll share what I found my spiritual gift to be, but I found it so interesting. Like, I know, like, several people in my life, like, really seeking after the Lord, like, in the Bible, just, like, studying God's Word every day, like, really spending a lot of time in prayer. But like spiritual gifts, it's such an interesting thing because I think God really wants us to pursue that. Like it's not something He just hands out to us on a golden platter. So I encourage you, like if you're not sure, like exactly, like where is my spiritual gift? Like how does God want to use me? Ask God. God's like, reveal to me how do you want me to be used for your kingdom? Because I believe we all have a specific calling. For how we can pursue God's kingdom, how we can bring glory to His name. So, ask God, just be fervent in prayer and just continue looking for that. And I'll share a little bit of my testimony, of what I found my spiritual gift to be. So, growing up, I was an introvert. Big time introvert. So if you guys think that you're an introvert, you got something else coming, because I love boxes. Oh, I love boxes. So what I'd get is I'd get those big refrigerator boxes, you know, the big ones. And I'd go out in the woods, and I'd put the box in the woods, and I'd draw comics all over this thing. I'd spend like half the day in there, bro. It was a good time. No one would bother me. I'd come in actually, you know what I did? I'd take a plastic bowl. We weren't allowed to have glass outside, so I'd take a plastic bowl with salad or whatever, like, food we got. So I wouldn't come back for lunch. So I'd leave, like, sometime in the morning. I mean, I was homeschooled, so I could do that. So leave sometime in the morning and then come back, like, right when it's getting dark. And I'd spend the whole day by myself writing comics, doing whatever I wanted to do. So I was like a hermit. I was like, you know where I'm going to go live? Because my mom wouldn't always let me have. We were only allowed to have popcorn on Sunday afternoon. So I said, Mom, I'm going to go live in Alaska. Neat popcorn in my box. That's my goal when I grow up. So, eventually that box outside got rained out and it started like drooping. And there was like weird stuff living under it. So I had to transfer the box to inside. But yeah, I just remember being not a people person at all. And my dad, for those of you who have met my dad, Dean Kirshner, he loves people. He'll get up here and talk to you all day. Like, every time he calls me on the phone, like, I feel bad. I was just like, I should definitely, like, start some of these conversations. But he's like, how's it going? How's everything up? Yeah, no, like, that's great. And I was like, how can I pray for you? All this is good. And I was like, Dad, I you have a gift I don't have. He's just a people person, and I'm just not that way. And as I've like grown up, I've become more of a people person because I've just seen like the potential in people and how God can use people. So thank God for changing my heart and not just always living in a box. So the plan is not to go to Alaska anymore, unfortunately, but we'll see. So from that, this is what my dad would always do. He would go to the gas station or to the grocery store, and while he was checking out, he would always say just the most like out of pocket things. Like, you know how some evangelists are very like scripted, is like, oh, this is what you're supposed to say. He would always pull just the randomest thing. He's like, so what do you think about Easter? Of course he'd say that on Easter. He wouldn't say that on Christmas. Say, what do you think about Easter? Like, what's your opinion? Do you think God really rose from the dead? Do you think you can be reincarnated? And he'd just get the most interesting random conversation started, and it always ended in the gospel. I'm like, how does he do that? And he always did it so comfortably. Like it was just his, like he was talking to one of us or something like that. And I was like, I can't barely go up to like McDonald's and ask for extra ketchup. Like, I was like, man, I was blown away. I was like, that is his spiritual gift, is evangelism, just talking and teaching. And I was like, wow. And as I started seeking the Lord at 14, I was like, I want to do that. I want to be like my dad. But that's not, I prefer the box. I wonder if I could just invite someone in the box and share the gospel with them there. That'd be a lot better. But there was one time I was walking across the bridge in Rome, and there was a one singular Hispanic lady. She was in the middle of the bridge, and she was on the phone. And when I got close to her, she put down the phone, and here I was coming up to her. And God really convicted me. I just been thinking about it a lot recently. It's like, why don't you share your faith with her? Just tell her about me. And I had not scripted anything. Actually, I take that back. I'd scripted the very first line, so I knew how I was going to introduce, but I didn't have any other plans after that. So I go up, I said, hey, nice weather. She says, yeah, good weather. It's like, well, who do you think created the weather? And she says, well, I don't think anyone did. I'm like, well, I think you're wrong. I think God created the weather. And she's like, well, I don't believe in God. And friends, it felt like 20 seconds. I sat there, I was like, all right, now what? What do I say here? But I didn't get an answer. I was like, what am I supposed to say now? Like, I was trying to think of one of those really smart things that my dad would say, and didn't come. So it was probably more like 5 seconds, but I was like, well, have a nice day. And I walked away from that, and I was like, you know, you walk away from those conversations, and you're just like, but God really convicted me through that. He said, Harvey, you're not prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. I'm like, man. So ever since that day, I've been seeking out, like, how do I talk to the lost? How do I talk to these people? How do I just be comfortable and, like, share my love for Jesus in a non-weird way? And you just got to remember where I was coming from. So I was homeschooled, and I was probably, I don't know if I'm the most awkward in my family, but definitely up there. So going to, I'm like the most culturally less aware, I guess. So when something's going on in a room, someone has to tell me what's going on. So I went to Shorty University. That was a Christian college. A lot of people, just Christian in name, not really actually seeking after Jesus. There was actually some Muslims there. There were some Catholics there. So it was really interesting. But I was like, you know what? God really just got a hold of my heart. And when I started reading the Bible, I was like, man, I really want to just share this with people. So I just started I looked for all the guys in my class. And after class, I just walk with them and be like, hey, man, what's going on? Like, hey, we should grab lunch sometime. You want to hang out at some point? But it was like the most awkward thing. Like, looking back now, I was like, and I knew I was awkward too. I was like, man, this doesn't feel comfortable. But I was like, you know what? This is something I want so bad that I'm willing to endure some awkwardness, in order to share Christ. And like, don't know, God used me. There was one man who asked Jesus to be your savior that semester. I think I did that for 2 semesters. That's how long I do enroll that shorter. So that was when I was 15. But that's when really God started using me. When I knew I was awkward and I came to do this and I had the need. I said, God, I can't do this. I can't do this by myself. I need you to come show me how to witness to people, how to share my faith. Because I'm not a people person. I'm not naturally comfortable with strangers. I can't just strike up a conversation. That's something I need for you to teach me. And honestly, just the more I've grown in that, the more I've shared my faith, like, I've just seen how God has been able to, like, work through me. But what's so cool about that is I came from humble beginning. So when people are like, man, dude, you witness all the time. Like, you shared your faith with that guy. I heard it. It was so cool, bro. Dude, where'd you learn how to do that? And I was like, that is literally God through me. And I can remember my testimony of where I came from. And I said, no, that is literally all God. Like, that's the Holy Spirit through me. That's nothing that I had to offer. Like, I know who the Harvey is. The awkward Harvey. Yeah, that's... But the Holy Spirit through me is the one that works. And so that's what I want to challenge you. Don't only surrender your strengths to God. And you have the strengths of giving gifts, having encouragement. But also you have the weaknesses of, like, being patient, weaknesses of not being joyful. Surrender those weaknesses to God and say, God, I bring this before you and I realize, like, this is not who I am naturally. This is not who my flesh is. My flesh does not want to be joyful. My flesh does not want to be patient. Bring that to God, though. Say, God, will you do a work in my life, and would you bring this, would you show me how to be joyful so that that can be a testimony for you? And guys, when you surrender your weakness to God, he will use you in incredible ways. Because he gets the glory through that. When you use your weakness for God, he gets the glory through that. And what happened recently was really interesting. I started to talk to people in the dining hall. So I've always, like, tried to figure out, I was like, okay, what's the best place to share my faith? And now I'm going to Berry College. So this is my last semester. I've gone there. It'll be 2 years once I finish. But I was like, okay, how do I share my faith on campus in the best way? And I really found, like, obviously, just look for opportunities, but, like, a set time I can actually do it is in the dining hall. People come in, they sit down, they eat their food, and they're stuck there. They've gotta finish their food. So if I walk up before they're done, oh boy, they're stuck there. This is what I started doing last semester. I started going up to people just in the dining hall and started to I just sat with them and I first related for the first, like, 10 minutes on just, like, campus stuff. And some people would talk to me, some people wouldn't. Other people I'd have to, like, I had, like, a list of questions I knew to ask, like, are you involved in any clubs? Are you doing any sports? What do you think of this on campus? How do you like D-Hall? Like, are you a freshman? So I had a list of questions in case they were, like, super not talkative. But eventually what I'd ask is, like, well, do you go to church anywhere? If they said yes, I'd ask what church. If they said no, I was like, well, that's okay. Like, I'm just looking for a church personally. Like, I like to visit churches too. Like to hear where people are going. And I was like, do you mind if you tell me what your personal beliefs are? Like, and then I've met a lot of Christians, been able to encourage them, but I've also met a lot of lost people. And some of them don't want to talk to me, but some of them do. And that's where it really gets interesting, because I met this guy named Max, and I sat down with Max, and I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a fun one. Cause he had big old skull tattoo right here, and he had, like, long hair, and he just had, like, what do you have, like, spiked necklace. I was like, this is gonna be fun. He looks like he rides a motorcycle or something. So when I bring up church, he's like, nah, man, I've been out of church so long. Like, I don't know what I believe anymore, but I think I'm a Buddhist. And I said, well, tell me about that. So for the first 15 minutes, what I like to do is just ask people, like, what do you believe? Like, I don't have to put the gospel right in, like, the first thing. If I have time, I just listen to them. It's like, well, tell me about the Buddhists. Like, I'm genuinely interested. Like, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? Like, who do you believe God is? Do you believe in a God? So the first 15 minutes, I just listened to him. And from there, I shared the gospel. I'm like, all right. And I usually get people's numbers, meet up with them again. So I meet up with them again. And this time, I share the gospel again. I'm like, okay, surely he's got it now. Second time around, he knows the gospel. But we debated for 2 hours, and he brought up all these things he didn't like about the Bible. I'm like, let me look into that. So I come back with answers. And for the longest time, I was depending on my own knowledge. I'd go to YouTube, look these things up. And that's really when my biggest strength started to become my biggest weakness. When I started taking credit, when I started using my own knowledge to help this guy. And this is the thoughts I was thinking. Man, Harvey. This is not outward. This was my inward thoughts. You're really good at witnessing, Harvey. You know? You're really something. Like, other Christians can't do this, Harvey. You are quite the guy. Like, wow. You're really spiritual. Man. Good job. And guys, that is when my biggest strength became my biggest weakness. When I started taking credit for what God had used me, that became my biggest weakness. And that's really what I want to focus on today, is the sin of pride. And that is my biggest struggle in life. The more I've been able to share my faith, the more God has used me, the more that is just something I have to resist every single day constantly, is the sin of pride. And guys, I think God definitely, He wants to bless us. He wants to show us what our spiritual gifts are. But if we begin taking credit for those, guys, He can't bless us. He can't use us if we're living in pride. And it doesn't have to be the tricky thing about this is it doesn't have to be an outward appearance where it's like, it's an inward thought that really says, I'm really something, and I'm good enough without God. And that is a lie, and that is an abomination to God. A passage I want to read that really shows how great an evil a sin pride is 1 Chronicles 21. And this is a story about David. And he had similar struggles. Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, "Go and count Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring a report to me so that I can know their number." So he's taking a census of all the land. How many people, how many fighting men are in my land? Joab replied, "May the Lord multiply the number of his people 100 times over, my lord the king. Aren't they all my Lord's servants?" He's saying, why are you taking credit for this? Aren't these all your Lord's servants? They're not yours. He says, why are you going to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel? See, he knew it was a sin. Yet the king's order prevailed over Joab. So Joab left and traveled throughout Israel and then returned to Jerusalem. Joab gave the total troop registration to David. In all Israel, there was 1,100,000 swordsmen, and in Judah itself, there was 470,000 swordsmen. But he did not include Levi and Benjamin in the count because the king's command was detestable to him. This command was also evil in God's sight, so he afflicted Israel. And David said to God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. Now please take away your servant. Take away your servant's guilt, for I've been very foolish." Now here's what's interesting. I really believe that this started with internal pride. Here's the problem with pride is it doesn't show its form first in your outward appearance. Like, you don't always come across as prideful. But inwardly you are. And I think this is where I base this verse off of. And in James 4:6, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God opposes the proud. So when when it says in the very interesting, this is interesting. Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel. That's an interesting word, incited David. So basically, he made David. But this is what I believe. I believe David was prideful, and God had opposed him, and that's why Satan had permission to incite David. That sin of pride was already there. It just now made itself manifest. So guys, just remember, pride does not start with the outward appearance. It starts inwardly. It starts in your intimate thoughts. And it's something you have to captivate and realize. But it's so hard to do. Because it just comes in really subtly. It says, hey, you're really something. You know, like, that was something really good you did there. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. Guys, do you know how big a sin pride is to God? How many people died from this? Does anyone know the answer? How many people died from this sin that David committed of numbering the people and taking credit for it? Does anyone know? Does anyone want to guess? Someone take a guess. How many people died?
35.
Wrong. More than that. More than that. Cole wants to guess. Oh, more. 70,000 people died. Guys, we don't even know 70,000 people. You know how much God hates pride? 70,000 people was the punishment for this sin. 70,000. And just blows me away, because I don't think that's inwardly. I'm like, well, yeah, okay, I'm prideful, but that's not that big a deal. It's huge. 70,000 people died because David was prideful. So guys, I desire that you would find your spiritual gift. I desire that you would begin to serve God. I desire that, you know, God blesses us with different things. Like, I think so many times that's what we ask for. God, keep us safe. God, bless us food to our bodies. God, just would you take care of us? Guys, I think those are biblical prayers. But the thing is, if we're living in pride, God can't bless us. Because he becomes an enabler then. He's like patting on the back. He's like patting us on the back when we're destroying ourselves. So God hates pride because he knows it destroys us. It takes us away from him. Basically, God wants to bless us. And he wants to work through us spiritually, but so often we turn it against him. So that's something you have to realize in your own heart. Okay, I want these spiritual gifts. I want these blessings. But am I prepared for them? Am I really prepared for them? Am I ready to receive these spiritual gifts? Or am I going to start, as soon as I get these spiritual gifts, am I going to start taking credit for them? Have I been taking credit for spiritual gifts? Have I been taking credit for things God has done in my life? And guys, what has to come first is humility. If you come to God with a humble spirit, and that's why David received so much blessing in the beginning of his life, because he was a humble, humble man. He was always talking about how he wasn't worthy. God, I'm not worthy to be called. And he said, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. So humility comes first. And then God has opportunity to bless us, because he knows we're not going to use it against him. 1 Peter 5:5 is a verse that has helped me so much. Clothe yourselves with humility. And this has two implications for me. Clothe yourselves with humility. The thing about clothing is it's unnatural. You were not born with clothes on. Sorry if you thought that was true. You have to put it on. Humility is never... If you want to show me a baby that's naturally humble, he's like, oh man, you can have the toys first. I'm not worthy. Nope, that's my toy. Guys, humility is something we have to strive for. And this is what I've realized. It's not just a one-time ordeal. Like, how often do you put on clothes? Well, hopefully every day. It is a daily thing. Putting on humility is something we have to do every single day. And I, for a while, I thought it was like a weekly thing. Or maybe just a monthly thing. It was like, God, like, here's my ministry, here's what I'm trying to do for you. I'm humbling myself now. Guys, you have to do that every day. Come before God and say, God, I'm not worthy. I need you. And there's three pointers that I want to give just for things that have helped me personally, realizing, okay, I realize I need to put on humility. I need to do it every day, but how do I do it? There's three principles that finding verses for these three principles and just putting these as reminders in your car, on your on your laptop, just in different areas, like, to remind yourself just of these three principles is just that's what's helped me. So I want to share that. The first thing is we are not worthy even to be saved. We're not even worthy to be called God's children. See, we were enemies of God by wicked works. And I think so often, so I grew up in a Christian home. My dad taught us the Bible since we were like 2 years old. So I'm like, yeah, I was kind of born a Christian. And obviously I believe in salvation. It was like, yeah, you know, at one point I realized like, okay, I had been selfish at one point. So I need God's forgiveness for that. But guys, you don't realize how bad your sin is. We're not worthy. And for me, like, I haven't really struggled with lust or, like, lust hasn't been a big problem in my life. Like, maybe I was selfish a little bit. I was sure I was prideful as a kid. Like, maybe I lied to my parents a few times, but I'm like, that's not that bad. Like, did God really die on the cross for that? Like, he kind of died for the community, did he not? No, guys, he died for you individually. Your sin was so bad and so filthy before God that he had to die on the cross for you. So make that personal. When Jesus went and died on the cross, next time you read the crucifixion story, next time you hear a song about Jesus bleeding and suffering, he did that for you. Guys, so we are not worthy. We might think we are, but we are not worthy. Isaiah 64:6, all our good works are as filthy rags in your sight. So any righteousness you can do falls completely short. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You didn't do anything. You did not do anything. You were not born a Christian. So that's the first thing. You are not worthy. Second thing, without the Holy Spirit. Okay, now you're saved. We realize we're not worthy. But guys, even without the Holy Spirit, if you act outside the Holy Spirit, you might as well go take a nap. Go jump in the lake, actually. Just do something else. Because if you try to go evangelize in your own strength and you don't depend on God, not going to work. And this is something that's so easy to do, is to not put our dependence on God. Maybe we're like, you know what, I did that last week. I think God remembers that I'm on his team. Yeah, all right, we're good. But guys, every time I go evangelize now, I try to pray this. I'm like, God, anything good I say is from you. I realize anything good I say is from your Holy Spirit within me. That's not me. That's your Holy Spirit within me. Also, if you don't speak through me, I might as well take a nap. I think I already said that one. And this is something I had to learn at camp, guys, because I worked at camp this summer. And it was John 15:5. And I kid you not, so every counselor I talked to had to learn this lesson. I was like, man, we could have just read the verse and like skip this part of learning. But it's something you have to relearn every day. John 15:5. I'm in the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So guys, when you're looking at your spiritual gifts, when you're looking at, okay, how can I bless people today? You realize that none of that is you. That is the Holy Spirit through you. In my flesh, there is no good thing that dwells. That is the Holy Spirit. So you need to give him credit. Give him credit through prayer, through thankfulness. God, like, thank you that you have made me joyful today. I realize this is not me, nothing I could do by myself, but this is something you've given me. Third and last thing. Your plans. See, I'm not as much of an administrator, but I'm a big planner. Oh, do I love plans. I love plans. So, This is something really hard for me to give up. This one probably the strikes the deepest for me. Your plans are infinitely inferior to what God is doing. God's plan is just that much greater. But this is a lie. God, the devil wants us to believe like this so often. Like, no, your plans are pretty good. It's like, yeah, you want to. And so often what we do is we twist God's arm and like, God, you got to do it my way. And we almost like look for the Holy Spirit to open up doors and like what we want to do. And you're like, oh, yeah, I think God actually told me to do that. I'm like, have you actually really genuinely sought him? No, but I really want this to happen. Guys, you got to surrender your will to God. Surrender your strengths and weaknesses. Surrender your will to God. God, I realize this is, and I don't think it's wrong to plan. I have a plan. I want to go on the mission field. That's my plan. I have a plan. I want to graduate college. But you got to understand, if God throws a monkey wrench in there, where am I going to be? Am I going to be like rejoicing God saying, okay, what plan do you have for me? Or am I going to be like, where's my heart at? Am I really looking for God's plans? Or am I so stinking set on my plans that I'm not willing to even think about, like, okay, what does God want me to do? So when it comes to your plans, make plans. That's not wrong. But come to God with an open heart. Say, God, is this really what you want me to do? Is this really what you want me to do? And when it came to Max, Max was the guy, the name of the guy who was the Buddhist, claimed to be a Buddhist. I've talked to this guy now for since the end of last semester. And every time we meet, we always talk for at least an hour, it seems. Like, I went to visit him at the auto shop, because I got him a job at the auto shop. So I went to visit him at the auto shop, and I didn't want to distract him. I just wanted to plan, like, hey, let's meet on Saturday, this Saturday, so that we can, you know, talk about Buddhism. Like, or you just tell me what they believe, and I'll, like, look into it. We can look up some stuff on Google. So we started talking. We were in there for about 45 minutes, and then the boss was like, Harvey, are you on the schedule right now? I said, oh, yeah. You didn't check it, did you? Yeah. So I had to leave after 45 minutes. But every time I talk to this guy, though, I have to remind myself, is this me and my arguments, or am I relying on the Holy Spirit to speak through me? And what I've had to realize is, like, okay, I could direct someone to a YouTube video. I could write out an argument for them. I could write out a whole thesis. But where's the Word of God in this? Am I depending on the Word of God? So God's really just convicted me of that recently. Like, okay, I'm talking to him for 2 hours, but have I showed him any Bible verses? How much have I prayed for him? How much am I relying on the Holy Spirit versus myself? And something I have to daily battle with. Am I the one who's doing this? Am I the one trying to save Max? He's not going to get saved if I'm the one trying to save him. Or am I dependent on the Holy Spirit for that? Just remember, your plans are infinitely inferior for what God has. So surrender, look for his will. God, he can use you in amazing, incredible ways. And though it might seem small to you, you'll get up to the kingdom of heaven. If you surrender to God and he uses you in a small way, you'll get up to heaven. You'll say, man, look at the impact I had. Let's say you're, God calls you to be a bus driver, and only one man gets saved through you being a bus driver your whole life. But that man goes to Indonesia and saves 5,000 people. Guys, God's plans are incredible. Just the way I've heard, like, just different testimonies I've heard, like, through sermons, like, wow, God works in incredible ways. And things we think are super small and insignificant, we're like, God, I could definitely do something bigger than this right now. Like, I'm in college, I don't want to be in college. I'm like, God, I could really get on the mission field right now. Like, you want me to be on the mission field, right? And he said, no, stay in college. I'm like, bummer. I really want to go on the mission field right now. But I stayed faithful, and then this is what God has led me to do, like talk to this guy named Max. I don't know. So even though it might seem small, surrender for what God wills, and actively look for this, okay? Look for what does God want me to do? And if it's the smallest thing, have faith that God is going to use that small thing in amazing ways. Amazing ways. Just need to surrender to him. What I think of often is Jim Elliot and just what he did in Ecuador. And it's such a mixed story for me, because I'm like, I love Jim Elliot. Like, he seemed like he had a lot of passion. I think you can actually access one of his sermons online. They still have, like, a sermon that he spoke. But I'm like, man, he had so much potential. He could have done so much for God, and yet he went and died in a jungle. And none of the people he was trying to reach ever heard the gospel, because they killed him right there. Like, I was like, God, is that how you want to use me? Like, I was afraid, like, I'm going to get married, have kids, go on the mission field, and then I'm going to die, and, like, my wife and kids won't have, like, anyone to take care of them. I'm like, man, do I really trust God enough to let him have ownership of that? And I don't even have a girlfriend now, but that still worries me. But you got to realize what happened through Jim Elliot. His wife was able to win that tribe to Jesus. But I believe Jim Elliot had a huge part in that, even though we don't associate that. And Jim Elliot, through his death, so many missionaries were raised awareness and were called to the field. So you don't know how God's going to use you. You need to have faith. Say, okay, God's plan is bigger than my plan. Last thing I want to do. And so that's where I'm at in my life. I want to be a missionary. Right now I'm reading a book on Muslims. I'm talking to a Muslim in the gas station locally. And that's where my desire is, but I'm almost like concerned, like, okay, as soon as I want to do something, God's going to have me do something different. So I should really study up on this. Like, yes. If you have right now I have a passion to talk to Muslims, share with Muslims. So in the fall, I'm going to Kazakhstan, for a month. So really appreciate prayers for that. I could actually like send you guys an email or whatever, through Ben Swayze connections. But, going to Kazakhstan for a month in the fall. And if any of you guys have any connections to Indonesia, let me know, because I want to go to Indonesia, but I have no connections. So that's what God has laid on my heart for now. But the last thing I want to read is Psalm 50. And I read this at the beginning, but I just want to harp on a few of these verses at the very end. This is God speaking. For every animal in the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. Well, guess what? He's not hungry. For the world and everything in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice a thank offering to God and pay your vows to the Most High. Call on me in a day of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me. If God's convicted you of something in your own life, and honestly, like, this message is so much for me as it is for you guys. If you didn't get anything out of it, I did, so thank you. But if God's convicting you of something that's like, man, I really need to surrender this to God, bring that before God. He will use you, but he can't use you if you're walking pridefully and if you haven't surrendered to him. So let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, just thank you so much for getting this opportunity that you've been able to use me. And I realize, God, everything good I've sent up here is the Holy Spirit through me, and it's not me. Harvey Kirshner is not a great speaker. Harvey Kirshner is not an entertainer. That is the Holy Spirit in me. And I just thank you for that gift. Thank you for this opportunity to come up here and just share a little bit about my testimony. And I just pray that in my life and all of our lives, God, would you show us how we are prideful and how we need to surrender that to you? Because I believe so many times we're prideful and we don't even realize it. So you just please guide us and shape us to who you want us to be, Father. I want to ask this in your name, in Jesus' name, amen.